Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
The text of our lesson today is found in the book of Titus, chapter 2. If you have your Bible, turn with me to verse 11 as we begin reading at that point. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds." The Greek word, which is translated righteous in our text, is defined as justly, agreeably to right, properly as is right, uprightly, agreeably to the law of rectitude. Our English word righteous means morally right or justifiable, acting in an upright, moral way. The Greek word that is translated godly means pious or godly. The English godly means devout, deeply devoted to divine worship or service, pious, having shown reverence to God. The phrase "in our world" in our text suggests that we live in an evil world. Our blessed Savior said he gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1 and verse 4. The Judean world was hostile to Jesus Christ, but the world is still evil. "For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Did you know every form of vice is hostile to Christianity? Satan didn't leave Jesus alone. He tempted him. Matthew chapter 4. Later, the devil got Judas, one of the Lord's chosen, his hand-picked apostles. Jesus warned Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee." Luke 22, verse 31 through 33. Neither I nor you should imagine for one moment that the old devil will leave us alone. Rather, we need to heed the inspired warning, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Friendship with the world is enmity with God, James 4 and verse 4. That's for the simple reason that the whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5 and verse 19. The world is unfriendly to Christianity. In our world, sin abounds, Romans 5 and verse 20. Abortion, adultery, blasphemy, boasting, cheating husbands and wives, cursing, dancing, deceitfulness, divorce and remarriage, drug abuse, drunkenness, fornication, gambling, homosexuality, immodesty, lewdness, lying, pornography, profanity, sexual immoralities, sodomy, spousal abuse, vulgarity, the list could go on and on. Atheistic communism has failed as an economic system as tried in the former USSR, but even in the good old USA, numerous contradictory theories of atheism abound. One of those is called humanism. It pervades our whole society, including our educational system. In America, existentialism, which is the mother of numerality or situation ethics, has bombarded us with the idea that truth is not absolute. Truth, which supposedly evolves as man evolves, is always relative, they say. There are no unbreakable rules, and therefore, there can be no list of things which are sins per se. That comes from John Robison, the author of Honest to God in Situation Ethics. To the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible tells us without fail that Satan appealed to even Eve, the first woman on the face of the earth, Genesis chapter 3. It's through those same avenues that he tempted Jesus Christ in Matthew 4. The devil is your adversary, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. By the same means that he tempted Eve and tempted Jesus, he tempts you and he tempts me today. 1 John 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. The Bible condemns every form of immorality. Every kind is found in the Bible condemned. When the Gentiles knew God, they glorified him not as God and did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And 28. The list of sins in the first chapter of the book of Romans sounds like a description of modern-day America. The Bible says that first they gave up God, those sinning those sins, and subsequently God gave them up, verse 21, and God gave them over, verse 28. The Greek word that is translated church means called out. The Apostle Paul says that God has called you by our gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. God called us out of the sinning business, and he demands that we stay out of sin. He said that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Inspiration urges us, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Jesus himself teaches that we have to keep our hearts pure, Matthew 5 and verse 8. He teaches that because out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Mark 7, verse 18 through 23. To the churches of Galatia, the Apostle Paul wrote, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of thee which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Of the church of Corinth, the same Apostle asked, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You have been sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. Notice carefully, if you would, that they were, that's past tense, sinners. But you are, that's present tense, washed, sanctified, and justified. The world today is no more friendly to Christ and His church than it was in the first century. Regardless of how enlightened we're told that society is, its unfriendliness to Christ remains constant. 2 decades ago, alcohol-related job absenteeism cost American industry nearly $10 billion a year. That's with a B. $10 billion. Add to that $9 billion annually for health care and welfare services associated with alcoholism, and you see the impact of such a lifestyle. Those staggering costs have increased year by year. Abuse of alcohol and other drugs is always wrong. Abstain from the very appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Those are only two of many admonitions for Christians to stay out of the sinning business. Of His disciples, Jesus said, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world," John 17 and verse 14. Christians are not to be conformed to this world, according to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. We know that righteous and godly living are not achieved by accident. At Antioch, Barnabas exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, Acts 11 and verse 23. That passage shows clearly that there must be determination to please God. The Greek word, which is translated repent, is defined as to change one's mind for the better, heartily to amend with abhorrence past sins. Thus, it's at the point of repentance that one hates his past sins and turns over a new leaf so far as his intentions are concerned. He does not aim or plan or intend ever to sin again. Total commitment to Christ is involved in such an attitude. But in order to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which we're admonished to do in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, one must be a regular student of the Bible, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. In no other way can we be sure that we're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 and verse 42. Regular, devout worship of God in the public assembly, 1 Corinthians 14:23, worship that is in spirit and in truth, John 4, verse 23 and 24. Those are essential to righteous and godly living. Prayer is another essential ingredient. We should be ashamed to try to do God's will without asking for His help, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. The world is full of temptations to allure us from Christ and heaven. Fill your life with doing good, and thus be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 21. Early training is needed because bad habits are hard to break. Solomon didn't say, "Wait till your children are grown and then try to straighten them out." Rather, Solomon wrote, "Train up a child in the way that he should go," Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The New Testament puts it this way, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord," Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Even aged women are to be teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. We must teach the Bible in Bible class. Bible classes shouldn't be ignorant sharing sessions. We should remember that we're supplementing the home training for our students. Teach both at home and in classes. That's what the Bible says. Train them up to be honest, which includes not to steal, and involves not cheating on tests in school, and means giving an honest day's work for an honest day pay when that time comes. Teach the students to tell the truth. Lying is a sin which separates one from God. One soul will be lost who is a liar. Neither happy marriages nor successful careers can be built upon lies and deceit. Early in life, all need to learn to keep their hearts and lives pure, for only those who are pure in heart shall see God. Matthew 5 and verse 8. The teacher's aim should be to help each student develop the kind of character that will stand when the world is on fire. Virtue means in the Greek an excellence of a person, or moral excellence, including courage or manliness. That's one of the Christian graces demanded in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 11. The Apostle Paul also wrote, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, behave like men, be strong," 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Parents, I admonish you, give your children time to grow up. Don't rush them. Don't force young girls into being premature women, prompting them to act grown by junior high or high school, and then expect them to make wise and adult decisions. Don't rush your boys either. As they develop, be certain that you instill ideas of purity and modesty and chastity in them. Make certain that in all their activities, including those things for amusement, that they are properly supervised. Teach them the absolute necessity of choosing wisely and well their associates and their companions, for evil companionship corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. I'm reminded of a quote made by Benjamin Franklin. "If you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas." Bad company can tear down and destroy all other splendid traits that you've taught your children. Some things, like dirty movies or indecent and immodest dress, are simply always off limits. That's always off limits. Fathers need to be involved in the child-rearing process, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. I find it sad that so many fathers abdicate their parental responsibilities and never spend any quality time with their children. I heard that after Henry Ward Beecher's father took him fishing on his 12th birthday, the boy wrote in his diary, quote, "The greatest day of my life, Dad took me fishing today," unquote. Years later, after he had become a noted denominational preacher, his father died, and while rummaging through his possessions, he discovered his father's entry in his diary for that same day, quote, "Took Henry Ward fishing today, most wasted day of my life," unquote. What a tragic misconception on his part. Fathers, share yourself with your children. Note how absolutely important that is. Godly and righteous living requires knowledge. It's essential to right living. The Bible will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Bible. We may not always do as we know we ought to do, but it's certain we'll never do any better than we know we ought to do. Prayer is also required if one will live right. Jesus himself taught that men always ought to pray and not to faint. Luke 18 and verse 1. Pray without ceasing is how Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, and continuing instant in prayer, Romans 12 and verse 12. Those scriptures are as valid today as the day they were written. Goodness is demanded of each Christian. Timothy was instructed to charge them that they do good, that they be rich in good works, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 and 18. God will provide an avenue for us to resist temptations. He promises such. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also will make a way to escape, that you will be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. The Apostle Peter wrote, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 23. The same apostle wrote again, It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Righteous is to be separated from wicked. There is coming a great and a universal and a final judgment day, that day when the righteous and the wicked will be separated forever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. Only those who have obtained forgiveness of their past sins and have striven to live right and to keep themselves unspotted from the world will be saved. Mark 16, verse 16, Acts 2, verse 38, James 1, verse 27, John 14, verse 1 through 3, and Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 13, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Truly, only those who live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world will be prepared for the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, and Jesus Christ will judge according to the gospel. Romans 2 and verse 16. Those are serious thoughts and serious admonitions. We at the Montavista Church of Christ are people that believe that God's word is complete, that every answer to every question that will guide us to every right way, both physically and spiritually, has been revealed by God and is found in the Word of God called the Bible. At the Montavista Church of Christ, we don't have creeds written by men. We don't participate in synods or councils of men to determine religious policy and legislation. We open God's Word, believing with all of our heart that faith comes by hearing, as the book of Hebrews tells us so clearly, and hearing by the word of God. If that kind of thought process is interesting to you, we invite you to come and to visit. With that invitation, we ask you to bring a Bible or use one that we can provide for you, and check everything that you see done and all those things that you hear taught with what the Bible authorizes man to do. We promise you that if you call to our attention things that we teach or things that we do that are not authorized by the Word of God, we will change those things. And we will thank you as being a friend of ours for pointing out our error. We would expect the same of you. If through study of the Bible you find that things that you have formerly believed are not according to God's word, but according to some man's doctrine, we would expect, through an honest desire on your part to be saved, that you would change those things and that you would live according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for listening today and invite you to any of our worship services. We come together for Bible study on Sunday morning at 9:30. We follow that by a worship service where everybody assembles in the auditorium, where we sing praises to God and pray. We partake of the Lord's Supper and give of our means, and we hear a sermon from God's Word. All of you that are interested in God's Word, who share the zeal that we have for knowing what God wants us to do, are welcome in our assemblies. We reassemble Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock for another worship service, and then on Wednesday evening we come together to study the Bible. We come together on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Every third Wednesday we have a singing where we open up our hearts to God and sing praises to His great and holy name. I hope to meet you at one of our assemblies. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.